Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us again for another terrific, wonderful, fantastic, superb edition of the Book Experience. Tonight we are with none other than the blessed selling author. Yes, I said blessed, not best. The blessed selling author. Enjoy. You are in for a treat. I love Enjoy. And she's local. So how often do we get to speak to someone that is a local author from the area? So this is a wonderful treat, and I'm not going to hold you any further, but please welcome Enjoy.
Good evening. Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I just want to start off by thanking you so much for allowing me to be a guest on Our Voice, and I want to thank your listeners as well for tuning in.
Well, thank you. The pleasure is all ours. And I just want to say I do apologize. I so double-booked myself for your last event, but I do plan on going to Toledo to come and see you and meet you in person.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Enjoy, you are the blessed selling author of the Diva series. Now, first, I want to know why you are the blessed selling author.
Well, you know, when I started writing, which was back in 1998 when I self-published, and like most writers, my goal was to become this New York Times best-selling author. I mean, I really felt like that would just validate me. So I'm writing books, and I'm writing books, book after book, and, you know, I'm a little biased, but I'm writing some pretty good books here. So, you know, this one's going to be the one that makes the New York Times bestsellers list, and this one's going to make the bestsellers list. You know, back then I was writing secular, so I was writing chick lit, I was writing erotica, I was writing urban literature. And then I went to church and got saved 1 year. And, of course, you know, once you meet Jesus, things change. You can't do some of the things you used to do, say some of the things you used to say. You know how that goes. So I couldn't write some of the things I used to write. And so I began using my pen to glorify God. And as I figured out my purpose, and, you know, that my purpose was not to write to become a famous author, but to write to make God famous, then everything changed. It was no longer about being this best-selling author. It became about being a blessed-selling author. It was no longer about 1 million books sold. It was about 1 million souls saved. So everything just changed. So that's where the blessed-selling comes from.
Wow. Go ahead. How do you preach it? You preach it. Do you preach on in your private time?
No, I don't preach.
Because you are preaching. I like that you use your pen to glorify God. I like that. Not everyone thinks that, you know, writing a book, it of course will make you famous, and you are. You know, for the listeners who are listening, whether you're tuned in online or for those of you that are tapped into the line on the live call, don't sleep on Enjoy. Do not sleep on Enjoy. You have been around for a while.
I have, I started off with secular under the name Joy Lynn Jossel, and then I wrote Urban Lit under the name Joy. So yeah, I've been penning them.
And I have books by Joy too.
All right.
I sure did. Yes. My girlfriend, one of my best friends, introduced me to you. She was like, oh, you need to read this. She would always tell me, every time I would talk to her, she was like, okay, let me give you a list of books to read. And I do not like reading new people, which is so unfair to say. I love reading new people now. I just was not accustomed to reading names that I was not familiar with. I'll rephrase it that way. But
okay,
I trusted everything that she said. And so she told me about you, and I have been a fan ever since.
Wow.
So when
you know
I
they
saw
say
you, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you know, they say word of mouth is the best. Nothing ever beats word of mouth. So I totally thank your best friend for sharing that, and then from you passing it on and sharing my work with others. I truly appreciate that.
Oh, of course, of course. I enjoy your work, and I encourage. I was at the store today and asking someone. I was doing something, and asking her, does she read, and giving her a card. And so she ended up liking this. She was like, no, I don't read. And so I said, well, you should. You should read.
Yes, when people come to when I'm at events and people come to my table and say, oh, I don't read, I just say, shh, your ancestors might hear you. Shoot now, come on. All they went through for us to be able to pick up a book and you won't read? Come on.
What? She said, all I read is Facebook. I said, no, baby, that's not a book. You need to read a real book. So just listen to the show sometimes and listen to the authors. And listen tonight. You'll get a good, a nice author, Christian author. So, and I like that. I like that in you. So before we get into your new book, tell me what the difference is between you writing secular and now writing strictly Christian. Was it hard for you to transition? Was it hard for your followers? Did you lose some fan base?
I did lose a fan base. It was not hard for me. It was hard for some of my fan base, but they did eventually cross over, some of them. Not a lot. Some of them were very upset, very angry, and would check in like every other year or so and say, have you gone back to writing that other stuff? Well, let me know when you do, and I'll start reading your books again. I mean, they will actually they check in. They're looking for a Joy Lynn M. Joshua book. They're looking for a Joy book. I guess a lot of people have a misconception about what Christian fiction is because, readers were never educated on what Christian fiction is. So a lot of people think it's just going to be some long, drawn-out book that's basically going to recite the Bible or, just something very boring. And granted, some Christian fiction books are boring, but so are some secular books. Hey, there's some erotica books that are boring now. You can't place a genre, every book in a genre is, boring. So there's some great books in every genre. There's some boring books in every genre. And some people just didn't want to give it a chance. Now, for me, it was easy because as a writer, I always say we write what we know first, we research what we don't know, and then we make up all the rest. But no matter what, we're genuine and we're true to what we are writing. It typically has something to do with our own life, someone in our circle's life. We're just genuine because readers will see through phony. And so we like to give them the real. And so if I'm writing and pinning things that really aren't in my spirit, readers will know and readers will call you on that in a review. And I feel like readers are my investors. When they turn over $15 at Barnes & Noble's or Walmart or on Amazon or their local bookstore, they're investing in me, and they want a return on that investment. And with dollars aside, their time. They can take the book back and get the $15 back, but their time is gone forever. So the least I can do as an author is be real and give them something genuine that is flowing through me. So making the transition was a must. It wasn't a difficult decision at all because at the end of the day, the readers are the boss of me. I have to give them what they want. And so I had to be genuine. So if it meant starting from scratch and earning a brand new fan base, then that's exactly what I had to do.
Wow. Oh, we're learning some things. You see how insightful Enjoy is? Insightful information. Very good. Now, you're writing about the Diva series, and you have what is it, 3-4 series in the Diva series?
Yes, I started off with the New Day Diva series, the Steel Divas, the Always Divas, and now I've started on the Forever Divas.
So what are the differences between the Divas?
Well, there's really no difference because basically what I'm doing is I'm writing about different characters. And a lot of people will read the book in any order they want to. Some people will just see a title and it will catch them or, you know, it'll just really penetrate their spirit. And they'll just pick up the book based on the title. And I know that happens because I'm a reader. I was a reader first before I was an author. And a lot of times it was that title that grabbed me. I didn't care if it was in a series, what book it was in the series. I wanted that book. But it won't be a turnoff if I look down and saw that it's the third book in a series, and it would make me want to put the book back and go back and read the other book so that I wouldn't miss anything. So what is unique about the books and what makes it a series is that each character I write about, they actually all belong to the New Day Temple of Faith. So I'll write about different characters, and the characters will have their own book, but that what makes it a series and what makes it a connection is that they all attend the same church. So you will see these characters play cameos in each other's book, but the book will be a standalone book. But the goal is that you will enjoy the book so much that you'll still want to go back and find the other books that I did write before. But I don't like to leave those readers who just pick up the book because of the title or the cover really attracted them. You know, I want them to be able to read that book and not be lost, but at the same time, want to go back and find out a little bit about some of the other characters that I sprinkle in here and there.
Right, like me. Like I picked up thinking, not realizing or not paying attention that it was, I think it was trying to stay saved is what got me. Right. And then I realized, so I called myself. So this is what I did. I had trying to stay saved. I can do better all by myself. And the perfect Christian. And then I realized, so then I started reading more, and I realized, things are not part of the same series. So then I was mad at myself because I wasn't paying attention because all I saw was Divas.
Yeah.
That's all I honed in on was Divas. So, now I have to go back to the very, because I like reading things in order if it's a series.
Yeah.
That's even though it's standalone and you can, I like reading things in order so that I can see from the beginning what's going on and why and what's happening and the relationships. And I like to do all of that. So I have to go back.
I know there's readers that are sticklers for reading the books in order. So what I do is in the beginning of each book, I do list all of the books in the order in which they were written.
Which is good because, like me, what I did is I put, and now I've started going back to hard copies. But because I carry my Kindle everywhere. I no longer read hard copies. Everything was on my Kindle. Put my Kindle in my work bag, and I had my my water bottle in my work bag as well. I didn't screw the water bottle on tight enough.
My
Kindle bag, my Kindle was wet. So it no longer functions. So all of my highlights, all of my notes, everything,
that's
gone. So that taught me a really valuable lesson. I will both A, things in hard form, because I have my book.
You understand a Kindle breaking is like a library catching on fire, okay, to an avid reader.
Yes. And so I did everything I could to try to – yes, I've been devastated about my Kindle. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've always loved hardbacks. I've always loved hard hard copies of books. I never wanted a Kindle in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now I need to be placed, but I now know that I must have a hard copy as well.
Books are available in print and ebook. So for everybody who likes the ebook format and reading the books on their phone when you're waiting in the doctor's office, they're available on ebook and they're available in print. And I do have some books on, you know, that I read ebook, but typically I still got to have that book in my hand. I got to have that book in my hand. I got to get that feel.
And that's what I said at first, enjoying it. Oh, no, I have to have the book in my hand. But it was so easy and so convenient. And then when I found out that it reads to you, that was just icing for me. So I could drive and have it read. And, yes, so I was doing that. Yeah, no, I have to go back to the old school ways now.
Yeah.
That hurt my heart. And I will get a new Kindle, but yes, I will have to do that. So let's talk about the new, you just released a new book.
Yes, I did. When All Is Said and Prayed, and that's actually book one of the Forever Diva series.
So let's talk about that. Now, when did you release it?
When All Is Said and Prayed was released this October 2015, and that deals with one of the characters, Paige. Paige is one of the fan favorites. She has cameos in books throughout the series, and she has her own book in one of the series. But people just tend to really love Paige because she's so reflective of what a lot of us are going through now. As not just Christian women, but as women, period. We have our moments, whether you're a practicing Christian or whether you just go to church on Mother's Day and Easter, we all know there is a greater power. So at the end of the day, we know there is a God, and we will pray to him. And if we think we can go without praying to him, he will put us in a position where we can't do nothing but call out his name. But like Paige, a lot of times she questions God, and when things begin to happen and when it rains, it pours, and a lot of times she even gets mad at God, and she might say she trusts in God, but her mouth is saying it, but her actions are saying different. And I just think, as, like I said, not just Christian women, but women, period, just people, period, we do teeter and we do have those doubts and we do question things. And a lot of times we do feel like we're being punished, you know, for things that are happening in our lives. And a lot of times we try to fix those things on our own. So not only do we get in God's way, we just move him out the way, period, until we realize our way doesn't work. So that's why a lot of people like Paige, because they can see themselves in her.
So now, do you see yourself in any of your characters?
I'm in every last one of my characters, the good, the bad, the ugly. A lot of times it won't be until I'm actually doing a final proof, a final edit of the book, when I realize that's me, or that happened to me, or I did that, or I said that. And a lot of times it's like it's God reminding me of where I come from, you know, where I came from, because I have an opinion about a character. Because, like I tell everybody, I have a ghostwriter. I sit here, I sit at my computer, I get my fingers ready, and I take dictation from my ghostwriter. And my ghostwriter just happens to be the Holy Ghost. So I never know what's going to happen next. So I'm sitting here, and a lot of times I'm not liking the characters. I'm not liking what they're doing, what they're saying. They're making me mad, and I'm thinking, you know, God, you got me writing about this character that I don't like. I can't stand. And, you know, some readers, if they don't like the main character, then they're not going to like the book. And then God will just have to settle me down and let me know it's not always about people liking the character. Sometimes it's about people who are like the character. And so that is what I think really connects my readers with my book. I'm to the point in my career where I'm no longer writing about characters. I say characters for industry's sake. But I'm writing about people. I am writing about real people, and I know this based on the emails and the testimonies that I receive. I am writing about somebody's life. I'm writing about my life. And it just shows that I'm no different than anyone else. And someone asked me that in an interview before. Well, what makes you so special? Why should people read your book? What makes you different? What makes you unique? And I sat and I thought for a minute. I said, you know what? Absolutely nothing. I'm just like you and the girl next to you and my sister over here and my sister over there. Nothing makes me exceptional. Nothing makes me unique. We are all the same. We are all just alike with the same struggle. Some of us have overcome of it. Some of us are going through it. But either way it goes, if we grab one another's hand, we can all end up on the right side of the mountain.
I told you, you preach somewhere. I don't know where you when you get up, you preaching. You are preaching.
Well, we just do say these books minister, and all glory to God, because like I said, he's my ghostwriter, and he knows what his children need, and he knows when they need it. So the timing of these books are always on point.
Right. And I believe that, Enjoy. Now, that is something that I really believe. I believe that when you encounter someone, or when you try to plan and things don't fall into place, and then you have to change dates or things don't work out, I believe it's for a reason. We may not always know the reason. We may not always find out the reason at that moment, but it is for a reason. Someone, you know, just like, you know, we were messing around with it, you know, toying with the dates, trying to figure out what date, because just based on what you have said in the first 20 minutes of our conversation, you know, someone may not have been available to hear, or may not have been in the place to hear what you are saying, needed it. And so at this time, they're receptive, and they're available, either tuning in online or on the phone. So yes, I wholeheartedly believe that time it happens when it's supposed to. Absolutely.
Yes, and I same with the book when all is said and prayed. I don't know if we have time. If I could read an excerpt from the book,
you sure can. Because like I said, my notes are gone in my Kindle.
Okay. Well, I would love to read an excerpt, and I just think this excerpt speaks on its own. I don't think I really have to, you know, give the readers or the listeners, you know, a little summary of what I'm about to read. Again, I take dictation from the Holy Ghost, and I think God speaks to his children, and people get the message and receive the message when they need it. And so I know somebody who's listening or will listen, they will get this, and it will move their spirit. But it's an excerpt from chapter 26 from When All Is Said and Prayed by myself, Ian Jordan. When Paige looked out the peephole and saw who it was, her heart rate sped up. She no longer saw the woman standing on her porch as a friend and confidant. Had she known the true identity of this woman, she wasn't sure she would have ever befriended her in the first place. Paige now knew her as the mother of her psycho ex-husband. She looked out the peephole again. Paige loved this woman, loved her to life and death. Paige was confused right now, but what she did know was that she could not, she would not make this woman pay the price of her son's sins. After all, even if she was the mother of her abusive ex-husband, that meant she was also Paige's oldest granddaughter's grandmother. Paige unlocked the front door and opened it. She pushed the screen open enough for her uninvited and unexpected guest to enter her home. The woman looked up at Paige with what looked like regret in her eyes. She then entered. Paige closed and locked up the door behind them. When Paige turned around, Blake's mother was just standing there looking at her. Both women seemed to fill up with emotions. Before either one knew it, they had charged towards one another to embrace in a deep, heartfelt hug. Tears were unstoppable as each woman cried. "I'm so sorry," Blake's mother spoke first. "You don't have to apologize," Paige said. "I do. I owe you several apologies." The women hugged for a few more seconds until they finally separated. Paige went and got them both tissue to wipe their faces. "Thank you," Blake's mother said. taking the tissue from Paige and then blowing her nose with it. You're welcome. Paige wiped her own tears away. She then looked to the woman. You said you owed me several apologies. I don't understand. Blake's mother took a deep breath and then gave off one of those here it goes looks. First off, let me just say that I honestly had no idea who my boy was. Initially, I didn't even know if my child was a boy or a girl. I would have never asked you to help me search for him had I known. I know that, Paige said sincerely. She never thought the God-fearing woman standing for her would have knowingly solicited her assistance in search for her long-lost child, had she known that that long-lost child would be Paige's abusive ex-husband. Wait, please, let me finish. Blake's mother found the courage to continue speaking. I did know who he was, though, by the time I brought him to meet everyone. Paige shook her head with such disappointment. I didn't do it that way to hurt anyone. I just felt it was better that way. I knew if I had told you all in advance, he would have never allowed to step foot in that house. No one would have ever given him a chance. She put her head down. Not that anyone gave him a chance this way either. Paige just stood there. She really had no idea what to say about the woman's confession. I wasn't trying to betray you or trying to trick you, Blake's mother offered. I love you like a daughter, like you are my own child. Her eyes filled with tears. You truly are the daughter I never had. And to think that once upon a time you really were my daughter, my daughter-in-law anyway. But because of me, my son treated you like a dog on the street. She kneeled over in tears. I won't let you blame yourself for what your son did to me, Paige said, walking over and putting her hand on the heartbroken woman's back. You weren't the one who raised him to treat women like that. The woman gained her composure and stood erect. Exactly. I wasn't there for him in the beginning, from the start of his precious life. That's when I really needed to be there, and I wasn't. I might not have been the one who raised him to treat women like that, but I wasn't there to raise him on how, in fact, he is supposed to treat women. When a mother fails her son, she fails all the other women in his life, too. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Paige. Will you forgive me? She was crying out hard. I was such a broken woman when I gave birth to Blake. His father was another woman's husband at the time. He was born into a broken situation. He was raised broken by a woman who I'm sure was broken as a result of the role I played in tainting her marriage. My boy was then abandoned by yet another woman that at the time he thought was his birth mother. Even though he was a man when he married you, that broken boy was still inside of him, still controlling his life. He was angry inside. He might have been good at hiding it, but only for so long. Paige could almost feel the pain herself that Blake's mother was in as she cried out apologizing. Tears fell from Paige's eyes just watching the woman. Paige still didn't feel as though his mother owed her an apology for what Blake had done to her. I've apologized to Blake, and he's forgiven me. Now I have to apologize to you, Blake's mother said. She took Paige's face into her hand. Baby, I'm sorry for what my son did to you. I'm sorry I was the first female in his life to show them that he couldn't trust women. I left him in the hands of another woman who ended up leaving him too. And I can only imagine what he felt like finding out that the two mothers he had both abandoned him. We taught him that a woman would hurt him. We taught him that a woman would leave him. I'm sorry that I didn't nurture him with the love a mother ought to nurture her child with. I'm sorry I didn't teach him how to love a woman, how a woman loves, and how to receive that love. I'm sorry for my role in breaking him. I'm sorry that he broke you, dear Jesus. I'm so sorry, she cried out. Paige threw her arms around Blake's mother. I forgive you. I forgive you. Following the obedience of the Holy Spirit, Paige forgave the woman, even though at first she didn't feel as though an apology was owed to her. But hearing Blake's mother speak and hearing proverbial chains break and fall with her every word, Paige knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the apology wasn't for anyone but the woman herself. It was for her own deliverance, her own freedom. And if Paige could help set that woman free by simply accepting her apology, then so be it. It was done. Mm. And that's an excerpt from When All Is Said and Prayed.
Now, first of all, are you reading for the audiobooks?
No, I'm not. The publisher actually has the audio rights, and so the audio company goes to the publisher to purchase the rights, and then, you know, the audio company typically has their own readers that they use. But I do have my rights back to some of the earlier books, so I'm thinking about putting those on audio with my own voice.
I think you should. Absolutely, you should. Oh, my God. Because, one, I love hearing you read it because we get to feel exactly, because it's literally I'm in that living room. And your tone and your pitch, everything went right with the feeling. So, yes, I think that you should read your own books for the audiobooks.
Because my characters are so real. Any author, I mean, even actors will tell you when they have a role, they become that person. It takes over them. My characters take over me. My characters don't care if I'm sick. My characters don't care if I'm in a PTO meeting. My characters don't care about my husband, my kids. They're selfish. They're jealous. They take over my life. And as a writer, when you begin to pen that story and those characters break loose and they have something to say, they do not let up until they have said everything. So they come in and they just take over. So that just goes back to what I said when I said I have to be genuine with what I give my readers. Those characters, those people, they have to live inside of me. And I think that's why there's so much of myself in every page of the book, in every character, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Nothing ugly. I, of course,
some of these characters be ugly. Some of these characters be ugly. They do some stuff and they do some things. They have said some stuff and have said some things. And I will turn my nose up while I'm writing it, and then the Lord will remind me ever so gently that I'm the one who said it first. But thank God I ain't me no more, which is the title of one of my books. But thank God I ain't me no more, because woo!
But here's the thing. Why is it so different when you're a Christian and you behave that way than when you are someone just in the world or who has not acknowledged God as their Savior? Because at the end of the day, Christian or not, you're still human. So why?
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Okay, I'm writing a book now. I'm writing the actual final installment of the Diva series. And one of the characters just got saying, you know, I don't get these Christians when they get mad at worldly folks for doing what worldly folks need to do or what worldly folks do. So a lot of times as Christians, we put on the Christian cape or we have an aura about ourselves, and we forget that we are human, and not only that other people are human, but not everybody is a Christian, as we can so clearly see with what's going on in the world today. But even the regular old folks living right next door, everybody ain't a Christian. So quit putting everybody on the Christian measuring cup or measuring stick. Because worldly people are doing what worldly people do. And if you're a Christian, you just keep doing what a Christian do. I have this saying, mind your own sin. Not just mind your own business. Mind your own sin and get you right. And I think when people do that, like you said, then they'll realize, I'm human. I'm a person. I fall short of the glory. I am not perfect. I am doing things that are often natural for a human being to do. And sometimes, as great as a Christian as we all think we are, when that bill collector call and we answer the phone and we don't feel like talking, or we in front of a bunch of people who we don't want to know that we broke, we will lie and say, she ain't here, or you got the wrong number. How about that? In the same way we can't put people on a measuring stick, God don't measure the sin. God don't measure the sin. A sin is a sin, unless I missed that verse in the Bible.
No, you didn't. I regularly post that on Facebook. A sin is a sin. So whether you're acting out in homosexuality or gluttony or lying, you're sinning.
Exactly. And I don't say it's a problem, because it's not a problem for me. I got a whole lot going on in my own life. People are free to pick and choose which sins they want to participate in and which sins they want to be mad at. But it just seems like a lot of times I'll see a whole bunch of, you know, stuff about the homosexuals. And we are, it don't matter what I think, it's what God says. And God has already spoken about it. But when we continue to try to tell them you're going to go to hell and this is a sin, I want to, you know, who's stopping big people in the grocery store? Who's the clerk working at Kentucky Fried Chicken when the 300-pound woman comes in there and she don't want to sell her a bucket of chicken? You know what I mean? So if you don't want to give the homosexual a wedding cake, then you don't want to give a little hoe down the street who gives having a baby by somebody else's husband a baby shower cake. You know what I'm saying? We can't pick and choose who we want to be mad at. We can't pick and choose. So are you going to stop the 300-pound woman in the grocery store with a cartful of hoes and say, you know you're sinning, right? You know you're greedy and you're glutton and it's a sin. You know, so it's like, do you just want to save homosexuals or do you want to save all sinners?
Right.
We wanted to save everybody's soul, not just the gay people. We want to save the woman who's greedy and glutton, and we want to save, you know, the prostitute, and we want to save everybody unless I missed the memo.
No, you didn't miss the memo. No, we are speaking tonight to, now, is it Enjoy or Enjoy?
It is E-N joy, and the E-N stands for everybody needs joy. So play on the words E-N joy, or everybody needs joy. So it's definitely a play on the words. So, but I like it.
So we are speaking to E-N joy. Let me give her a new title. We're speaking to Evangelist. Preaching. Enjoy, author of the Diva series. She just, published a new book, When All Is Said and Prayed For, in the Diva series. She is, if you're just tuning in, please go back and listen to the archives. Dynamic. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That is just, why did you choose that particular part of the book?
I chose this particular part of the book because I really felt like this scene, I mean, the entire book to me is just profound, and there are certain areas, and the readers tell me, oh, my goodness, I had a box of tissue, and I'll ask them which part, and they'll tell me the different parts. Not many had a box of tissue on this part, but a lot were shouting. So I like when, you know, a lot of folks were shouting with this and they could understand and they could feel whether they were that mother who wasn't there to train up their child or whether they were on the end of the son who was not trained up by his mother. But just so many readers, not just women, even men. I have a male fan base as well. And they were just really able to connect and shout and give a amen on this part. And so I felt disconnected. I love the, you know, the emotional part where you bring out the box of tissue or whatever. But I love the opportunity to shout. And so I wanted to give the readers the opportunity to shout, the listeners rather.
I fell on that spectrum. I raised three boys. I grew up in an abusive marriage. I mean, I was in an abusive marriage. So my whole thing has always been, you never put your hands on a female, especially knowing how father did me. So when the girlfriend called me and say, he's hit me, I'm furious. And so I know that I did not raise him like that. But at the same time, I know that's also something he grew up and saw. So I carry guilt because I didn't get out soon enough so that they wouldn't see that. Or, you know, he was raised, you know, by me, so I told him not to do that or else he'd have to deal with me. So that's where I feel. So I know how she felt apologizing because you do some sort of guilt. So that's the part of the spectrum that I fell on.
Wow. All right. and we do, you know, like you said, you stayed too long. You stayed too long and you saw too much. And that goes for, you know, a lot of women, I believe. A lot of men, too, you know, a lot of men. And in one of the books I've written that it comes out in March of 2016, it's called One Sunday at a Time. And, you know, we get to see the male perspective and, you know, not just a physical abuse, but a woman's tongue will slice you up in a heartbeat. We may not be as strong as a man, but we're going to bruise your spirit and your soul. We're going to rip it to shreds with our tongues if you try us. That is our weapon.
Right. That's what my grandmother used to tell me all the time. She used to say, Chanel, you cannot tear a man down because he cannot combat with your tongue. He cannot combat that. The only thing he can combat with is his fist.
And I'm not saying because you run in the mouth, you deserve to get hit. I would never, you know, condone that. But we vicious with the tongue. We vicious.
I will admit, I am treacherous with mine. But that always stays in the back of my head. I always remember what my grandmother told me that on several occasions. So I never ever tore him down. You know, I always wanted to build up. But I know because she always told me, but it didn't matter. If it rained that day, he wanted to hit me. So it didn't even matter. But, you know, hey, I'm out of it, and I'm talking to Joy, or the evangelist, best-selling author. I cannot wait to meet you in person. I really wish I would have the opportunity just double book. And the funny thing is that I keep a small calendar in my purse, and then I keep a bigger one at home to try to keep together. It just does not
work.
That's
what I do. But not to worry. When I have the book release in Toledo for One Sunday at a Time, it's going to be Saturday, May 21st, 2016, from 1 to 4 p.m. at Kent Library in Toledo, Ohio. And mark your calendar now so there's no confusion.
Yes, I've already accepted it on Facebook. I've seen the request, so I've already accepted. I am definitely there. I don't have any birthdays, no nothing. My grandchildren, nothing. So I am there May 21st, absolutely.
So anyone listening, go on Facebook and go to One Sunday at a Time, Toledo, Ohio Book Release, and come. Click the going button and join us.
Now, will you read excerpts then, too?
Oh, yes, I will read. I will be reading. I will be doing a Q&A. We have a wonderful live musician who's going to be performing, George Bostic and the Garment of Praise. They're going to be performing. They're actually, I even give them a shout-out in the book because in the book there's a book event and there's a book signing going on. And I always like to mock a scene from my book and my actual book releases. So we're going to mock a scene from the book. And in that scene, I actually have George Bostic and the Garment of Praise performing.
And so, bless God, they'll be able to actually perform at my book release in Toledo, Ohio. So, yes.
Yes, definitely. It's on. I'm going to put it both on both calendars. The one on my in my purse, and the one that I keep here at my house. Because putting it in my phone just doesn't work for me either. I don't know why. Yeah, I can't keep track of all of that in my phone. Yeah, I can't use the phone calendar. I don't know. Just pray for me, honey. Just pray for me. So tell everyone they can, A, catch up with you on social media, where they can purchase your book, and what's next after when all is said and prayed for.
Okay, well, I'm definitely on social media. I'm on social media under Joy Lynn Ross, and I'm also on social media under ENJoy. I have a fan page, the New Day Divas fan page, for everyone who likes to keep up with the divas. And I also have the ENJoy Reader's Lounge for those who like to discuss the divas. So we have book discussions every month, and we always do giveaways, gift cards, Amazon, Starbucks, Barnes & Noble. We do giveaways every month, and we just, you know, chat about the divas books, the characters, and what's coming next. And speaking of what's coming next, of course, I mentioned One Sunday at a Time, and that's going to be released March 2016. And then after that, we have the final Divas installment, which is called Lady of the House, and that will be released November 2016. But in the interim, I have had the absolute pleasure and honor of co-writing the Angel series with Nikita Lynette Nichols. The Angel series right now is e-book only, and it includes three books. It includes She's No Angel, Angel on the Front Pew, and California Angel. But next Christmas, we have a publisher who's going to put it out in print. So he's just going to put all three of those out as a print novel. So it'll just be called She's No Angel, because we don't want people repurchasing the book who's already read it. So we're going to stick with the title first. But it's the Angel series. It's with ENJoy, Nikita Lynette Nichols, and it is hilarious. It's Lucy and Ethel, Laverne and Shirley, Thelma and Louise. It's all of that. Just mixed up with the church drama. I mean, you would need a tissue for this series, but because you will laugh until you cry.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure. I just read a couple of her novels, actually.
Nikita is amazing.
Yes, I absolutely. Is it Amaryllis?
Yes, it is. That's one of her characters, and then she has Lady Erica. Those are who she's notorious for writing about. And Lady Erica teams up with Angel. So you have to read Angel series. So get that Kindle right. Get that Kindle right, because right now it's ebook only, but it will be in print, but not until December 2016. So everybody go out and get it on ebook now.
I guess I will have to. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes, she is. I absolutely, since I've been home for a little while, I've been reading. I'm excited about reading. Now I have to figure out how to remember my password on my phone and download on my phone, which is amazing. I'm excited for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited too.
So give us five things about you that we don't know.
Five things about me that you don't know. Whew, shoot. With social media, this is hard because I put it all out there. But what some people may not know is that I also wrote a children's book. And the children's book is titled The Secret Olivia Told Me, and it's actually written under ENJoy.
because even though I write Christian novels and they're, you know, clean, no sex scenes, you know, explicit language or anything, but they're still adult mature subject matters. And so the children's publisher didn't want children Googling, you know, the name and, you know, stumbling up on these adult subject matters. So they asked me, would I just drop the N? So I dropped the N, and so it's under N, period, Joy. And again, it's The Secret Olivia Told Me. And it was picked up by Scholastic Books. It received the American Library Association Coretta Scott King Honor, and it has sold almost 100,000 copies to date.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. So that is one. That's one thing. Another thing is that people don't even know that I'm all the same person. I am E.N. Joy. I am N. Joy. I am Joylyn M. Jostle, and I am just plain old Joy, which is the name I wrote under when I used to write for Triple Crown Publications.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes,
okay,
I used to write for Triple Crown Publications. Yes. The third thing that people may not know about me is that my favorite color is purple, but I only own two purple things in my closet. I love purple, though. It is my favorite color, but, you know, the purple got to be right because everybody thinks of Barney when they see purple. So, you know, the purple got to be right. So even though purple is my favorite color, I only own two purple articles. Okay, let's see. Number four. Let's see, another thing people may not know about me. People may not know that I have two sons and I have two daughters. My youngest son is 6, and my oldest son is 27. So I I have that huge gap in between. And let's number five, my favorite restaurant, the Cheesecake Factory. Yes. No, I love food. I love food, period. And a lot of people think, oh, but you're so little. I work out every single day to break even. I do an hour on the tread not to lose weight, not to look good, not to get in a swimsuit. I work out every single day so I can eat a whole pie if I want to. And I know that's bad. I know that's horrible. But I love food, and I work out every day to break even there. They got an anonymous club for that. I'll be the first one to join. I won't even be a member. I'll be the president.
Well, that is so funny. Wow. See, so I've learned three things about you.
Okay.
Because I didn't know you wrote. I didn't know that. I did know that you wrote under those other pseudonyms. I did not know that you wrote for Triple Crown.
Okay.
Yes. Not at all. And I was really just talking about, I actually was talking at the store about Triple Crown to the young lady. I was speaking to the cashier, actually.
I wrote Dollar Bill. I did the content edit for Nikki Turner's books. I did the content edit for Quan's book, Gangsta. I picked all of the stories for the game. So, yeah, connecting with Vicki Stringer was just awesome. I absolutely learned a lot from Vicki about the business. So I have to give her credit where credit is due.
Right, absolutely. Now, you also do literary
consulting, yes.
Yes.
I do literary consulting. I can take you from getting the book out of your head to getting the book to the printer or to get the e-book to e-book. I can guide you through the marketing, through the promotions. I can guide you through book tours, through book events, through virtual book tours. I like to call myself a literary concierge because just like if you're at a hotel and you're staying in a penthouse suite and you call the concierge, you'd be like, yo, I need a olive on a red toothpick. He got to get you that olive on a red toothpick some way, somehow. So that is my job for my literary consulting clients. I was formerly the editor, the acquisitions editor of the entire Urban Christian imprint. I acquired all of the books that they published on the line, but unfortunately next month will be the last month they will be releasing books on the line. They're dissolving the imprint. So, and I do, I, I've done a little agency. I don't take on new clients, but I do have several clients that I've gotten book deals years ago and that I still keep them on and continue to, you know, get them new contracts or contracts with other publishers. So I'm everything literary. I love the written word. I breathe, eat, sleep it. Well, not a lot of sleep, but you know what I mean.
Well, I said, as a literary genius, do not sleep.
You.
On you. No one should sleep on you. And I think that is coming, the New York's Best Time bestselling.
Thank you.
Because you've done this for so long. You don't just stay in the game if you're not great. This is just, you don't. You have a large fan base. I do pay attention to Facebook. I do pay attention. I go into the little groups from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I see when they flash up. You have a great fan base. Everyone. Now that I'm off work for a little while, I have all the time in the world. So I'm always. I peruse. I don't always comment, but I peruse a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do, but to sleep and peruse. So you have a strong following, And
when I say my readers are the boss of me, my readers are truly the boss of me. They are. They give me life. They do. They really give me life. And I listen to them. I pay attention to them. I'm not that author who, if you give a bad review, I'm not going to fuss and fight with you because I will not be fired for insubordination. I want to earn you as a reader. I want you to tell me honestly, you know, what you didn't like, what you did like, so I know what to keep doing, what not to keep doing. But like I always say with the reviews, I love the truth. Attack my plot, attack my characters, attack my beginning, middle, and end. Please don't attack me as a person and an author. You know?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of reviews I can do without is when people attack the author as a person or as a writer. Let's just stick with the book. So.
Right. Absolutely. I understand that. Now, before we conclude our conversation, now, I did have a question about the New Days Divas series, that portion of the series, because in that portion of the series, it was she finds a husband, then they're prayed that, love, honor, or stray, trying to stay saved, I can do better all by myself. So this was a lot about the single sisters?
Yes,
or
singles ministry.
So
yes,
here was like,
what launched it? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What launched that?
What launched that was She Who Finds a Husband, and that basically started with Mother Doreen wanting to get the pastor's approval to start a singles ministry because she wanted to support the singles in the church. But what happened was people joined, but it was just women, and they didn't want support. They wanted a husband. So, of course, that sent Mother Doreen's ministry and vision and mission astray. So she had to deal with all of these women who weren't interested in support as a single. They wanted help finding a man. But, you know,
right.
Mother Doreen being the voice of reason, she brought them back down to earth.
I laughed at the first. I did. I was laughing at the first meeting because it is. That is all that you find in a single ministry. It's nothing but women. So it's kind of defeats the purpose. You're not really going to find a Christian male. But when you do that, isn't that kind of going against the way things work? Because the Bible says, he who finds. So when you do a single ministry like that, if you're looking for husbands, they think it's a dating game or a master.
Right. And that was the whole point of the book, why it was called She Who Finds a Husband, because we're getting it all twisted. We get, even when we do find a husband, we're still getting the roles twisted. But it's not she who finds a husband. It's he who finds a wife. So sit still somewhere so we can find your tail.
Right.
So that's basically why I titled that, because we see it. We always trying to help God out, you know? We always trying to tug him and help him. He is God all by himself. And so hopefully when people are finished reading that book, they see these women trying to be God. They see these women trying to go against Scripture, finding husbands. So hopefully by the time they finish reading this book, they will get the message that always it's not his way, ever.
It's actually hilarious when they meet. It is really funny when they meet. I laugh. I was like, boy, this is. And I laughed. I was cracking up. You do a very good job. I am, like I said, I've been reading. I've read under a couple of your names. And I still stayed with you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. I really do. Thank you so much. Because it's hard. I lost a lot of readers. I really did. And I just remember, you know, I wanted to be that author who, when I walked in the room, everybody knew my name, because I go to literary events and I see the big name, the New York Times bestselling authors. I hear their names being called out, and everybody in the room knows who they are, and everybody starts clapping and cheering before they even make it to the podium. And I just remember saying, God, I want to be like that. I want to come into the room and everybody knows who I am. And you know what God said to me? He said,
what?
Me too. He said, me too. So that's when I knew right there I had this game all twisted. Like I said in the beginning, I'm going to bring this conversation full circle. My mission, my purpose was not to write so that I could become a famous author, but it's to write to make God famous. He's the one everybody needs to know when he enters a room, and you have to know that he's there. And if I can do that with my book, if I can introduce people to God so that everybody in the room knows who he is, then that is what my true mission is.
And I believe that you are doing your mission, and God honors your faithfulness. He will honor your faithfulness. So, say, you have been listening to Evangelist, best-selling author, New York best-selling author, because the Bible says call those things that are not as though they were. So, New York best-selling author, E.N. Joy, and let me say this, it has been really a joy. You have the right name. Because it really has, you've done my heart just so, I've been in church all weekend, number one, but you have done just my heart just joy, because I have not been feeling well, but I still said I'm going to still keep doing this until the end of the year, and then I'm going to probably rest for a little while. It has really been a joy. It simply has. And I so look forward to when we can meet in person. That is just the creme de la creme for me.
Wow, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you, so thank you.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate the time that you have taken to sit and chat with us and minister to us, because that's what you did, honey.
Thank you.
Read to us, and I so hope that you read for your audiobook. That would just be phenomenal. I so hope you do that. So again,
Thank you. We
end, can you please give everyone your media information as to where they can reach out to you and purchase your books?
Sure. You can purchase my books online at any place that books are sold online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. My books are in ebook format. My books are in print. A couple are in audio. You can find me personally on Facebook under E-N-Joy. You can find me on Instagram under Ian Joy Writes. You can find me on Twitter under Ian Joy Writes. And you can also email me if you have any questions, just want to say hey. Questions about me, my book, the writing industry, you can reach me at enjoywrites, so that's enjoywrites@aol.com, or you can text me at my website, which is www.enjoywrites.com.
Thank you so much. Is there anything that we should have gone over that we did not go over?
No, there's nothing except for one little quote that I want to share that it really moved me, and anyone who's listening, no matter what you're doing, not necessarily an author, no matter what your craft is, because whatever your craft is, it's singing, if it's being an author, if it's sewing, if it's cooking, that is your ministry, and that is somehow your prayer to God. And so I just want to read this message that I got from Dr. Creslow A. Dollar, and it says, "Begin to seek the will of God and let him lead and guide your life. Forget about your career objectives and start seeking God's kingdom objectives instead. Remember, your breakthrough comes when you hear the voice and obey it. Then there will be nothing that can stop your life from moving into great success." And I think that goes for anybody listening this evening.
Absolutely. And so I don't even need to close. She just gave a benediction. So thank you.
Stop it. Thank you again, truly. Thank you so much. I've definitely enjoyed this evening. Thank you for taking out the time and, again, sharing me with your listeners. Thank you.
I so appreciate you, and I thank you for everyone that tuned in, both online and calling in directly. Tune in with us again next week, and God bless you all, and remember to pray one for another. I love you, and God's best to you. Thank you.